This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For a fifth straight win tonight. After beating the Flyers last evening, they play Philly again, this time at home. Puck drop a little over 2 hours from now, right here on The Fan. In 1 hour, Thomas Dimitroff, the former general manager of the Atlanta Falcons, will be joining us. He's worked with Dan Quinn and Adam Peters. We're going to look ahead to the NFL trade deadline and what Washington should do with Dimitroff coming up at 6 on G&D. But it is time, as it always is, on this Wednesday at 5 o'clock to blitz the division. Jerry Jones has not been in the news nearly as much this week, which is, I guess, a good thing for the Dallas Cowboys. But a guy who knows a thing or two about that, because he works at our sister station in Dallas, is Kevin Hagelin, middays, 105.3 The Fan. Kevin, you guys catch any shrapnel from Jerry? He's firing anybody this week, or everybody okay?
Nobody's been fired yet. But, good. You know, every day is a new adventure. Yes, there's been plenty of blowback. Lots of people have thoughts. And here I was really hoping you were calling to talk about the Mavericks or the Stars' good start.
Maybe a different time, a different podcast, a different section. But what did the Cowboys need this bye week? Did it come at a good time, or could they have used it later?
Yeah, I think it did come at a good time, but I might have to like reevaluate that question in 3 days because Micah Parsons didn't practice today, and I get that that's part of the process. But if Micah Parsons is not good to go against San Francisco, then you're like, okay, so we got an extra week off to do what? Not get that much healthier and still go up against a team that's had our number for years and years and years?
You mentioned having the number. I mean, San Francisco is a team you'd rather play now than in a month, probably. I kind of like the timing of getting them. No Debo with pneumonia at this point. Ayuk out for the year. They're a mess right now. It's a prime time game. I feel like it's winnable for Dallas.
Yeah, the thing I struggle with is, and I appreciate the kind words, I would argue pound the under on this game if you're a betting person. But I kind of struggle a little bit to see how the Cowboys are really going to rack up points against the physicality of that defense, which I know has only been mediocre this year. But Detroit laid out the game plan. They said in a podcast the game plan was double-team CeeDee Lamb, and they got nothing else.
I'm looking at Dallas's schedule, and this is one of the reasons why I thought they would take a little bit of a step back this year, Kevin. The teeth of it here. Now, San Francisco's not the team that we thought, but a lot of frisky teams, we look at, you know, Falcons, Eagles, Texans, you know, Washington's, whatever you think of them, but the Giants, Bengals. I thought this would be kind of a tough time for Dallas to be able to get back to that 13-win plateau. What's your eye line right now for the season?
Probably 9-8, and I could see how some people might think that is optimistic. You can make a pretty strong argument that at least for the next five games that they will not be the favorite, if not all five. So this is going to be a tough run. You know, you hear the same message kind of week in, week out, year in, year out, best football's ahead, and so forth. We'll see in this game because they just got straight up embarrassed in the last game. So we'll see what happens against, like you guys said, a pretty hobbled San Francisco team.
Talking Cowboys, blitzing the East. How about Brandon Aubrey? Was not at practice. He was busy determining innocence or guilt. He had jury duty today.
Okay, this is going to be a really weird thing I'm about to say, and you guys might never want me back on the show again. One of my dreams in life is to get selected for jury duty. I have been to jury duty numerous times. I have never got picked to be on a jury. I would really like to do that.
I think it would be cool.
It depends on the case.
How does it work? Here's what I don't get. I have buddies that have been selected like four times, that have been, you know, asked to come down to be a part of the process like nine times. I've never gotten one invitation. It's like I don't know what list I have to even be on. I've never received
a
single
even
thing.
Summoned?
Not one time.
What?
I don't know.
That's weird, by the way.
What list am I supposed to be on?
That I don't know.
What are they basing on? Like, do I not have
a valid driver's license?
That's what I thought it was.
I'm now wondering about that. Maybe I haven't had a valid
driver's license. They don't have your new address or something? I was actually on a jury for a minute, Kevin. I'm just minding my business. And next thing you know, like, they called 14 names. And I'm sitting in the jury box. I'm like, oh my God, I'm like on this thing. And like, I'm being examined. Like, people are asking me questions of being voir dired or whatever it was. And I was like, I don't know if I want to be part of this. It was like a really boring, like, did this person potentially defraud a couple of people financially? And I'm like, oh my God, I already fell asleep. So I don't know that I'd want to be on that.
So you're looking more of the aggravated robbery, kind of more like intense crime that you're looking to get on that
jury
for,
right? He
wants
a true crime documentary series.
Yeah, like if it's a cool case, not, you know, I don't know how to say that better, but like, because I'm sure there's real victims, but you know what I mean? If it's like something intriguing other than like, we're going to prove malfeasance through these series of numbers in a spreadsheet,
cool
like
case.
I can't do that, you know?
Sure. You can't just say, like, I'm here to punish malfeasance for malfeasance's sake.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would go over super well. But so you're looking for a case that will turn into a podcast is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Yeah, you want to be able
to. Like, if we're going to do it, let's really do it.
You're going to be interviewed for a podcast afterwards.
Sure.
I do want to sneak in, though, on Brandon Aubrey, going back to that for a second.
Yes.
What do you think is the longest field goal he could make in a game and, like, might actually make this year? That dude is such a weapon.
I legitimately think at some point this year you're going to see him kick a 70-yard field goal, and I think he can make it. Now, that might depend on if it's at home or, you know, what the weather conditions are like, but you saw it when he kicked the 66-yarder that ended up getting a delay of game. It was good for a little bit of a ways.
Yeah,
and
easy.
Then the problem with this Cowboys offense is they have struggled to get the ball past midfield, so you've been in these positions to kick these ridiculous field goals.
Kevin, thank you, buddy. Be well, man.
Yes, sir. See you guys later.
And
you got
good
it,
luck,
dude.
By the way, on Operation Be on a Jury.
Get on the jury.
Thank you. I'll report to you guys first.
Please do. Thanks, buddy. Hit that Eagle sounder, please. Tom Kelly joins us, who talks about the Philadelphia Eagles an awful lot. That's why he's going to talk about the Eagles with us. Tom, I've made the case that this Eagles team is not out of it yet. They're going to get their act together with the soft schedule coming up, and they're going to be right there in the NFC East. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of weeks have been a lot better, especially from the defense. I mean, two games in a row, it is the Browns and the Giants, so you got to take it with a little grain of salt, but I haven't allowed a touchdown to either of those two teams. The offense still doesn't look completely right, but these last two games, really encouraging from a defense that was pretty bad the first 4 weeks.
Has Saquon Barkley been as great as his numbers look so far this year?
Yeah, he's been incredible. And I was very critical of the signing. I thought, hey, you know, paying a running back that kind of money in today's NFL, it's not going to be worth it. I was wrong. I mean, Saquon's incredible. And the more this season goes on, the more it appears the Eagles are just going to have to run their offense primarily through Saquon and throw off that, because he's just such a special player. He certainly showed it last week in New York.
Is this defense good? I mean, you referenced it. You get fed on a couple bad opponents. Washington's done the same thing. I just can't tell. I mean, a couple years ago, they set the universal record for sacks. It was unreal. Last year, a step back. This year, I just don't know. Is this defense good?
It's really hard to evaluate. I would say they're average. Like, when it really comes down to it, that's where I think they are. I mean, they have some really good players on the back end, especially the rookies. Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean have stepped in, done a really good job so far this year. Up front, the pass rush looked really good against the Giants. Now it's Daniel Jones, Giants offensive line. I mean, I think that's where Howie is probably going to look to upgrade at the trade deadline if a premier pass rusher is available. But the last couple weeks have been really encouraging after a really bad performance in Tampa Bay, 8 sacks last week in New York. So things are certainly looking up for the defense.
To the point of the trade deadline, you mentioned where they might be looking to upgrade. How aggressive do you think they'll be? Do you anticipate them going out and making a couple moves?
Well, I mean, it's Howie Roseman. And Howie Roseman is always looking to make a splash and improve the team. Now, I know they've been linked a little bit to Cooper Kupp. I don't think that makes any sense. I mean, you guys know they just traded that 3 for Jahan Dotson before the season started. I think if you're looking to upgrade, it is on the defense. And, I mean, I don't know. You look at a team like the Browns, a team like the Raiders. If their season's just totally going to tank, if Myles Garrett, Max Crosby, one of those guys becomes available, I mean, I'd have a hard time thinking how he wouldn't aggressively pursue those options.
How's the offensive line? We're used to that group being just incredible, and I get the sense they're playing well, but maybe not what we're used to seeing. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, man. I mean, we've been spoiled with the offensive line over the years. Jason Kelce retiring, we thought might be a huge deal here, but Cam Jurgens has stepped in. He's done a good job. Now, they're without Jordan Mailata for the next couple weeks. That's going to be a big blow, but Fred Johnson, who stepped in as the backup last week, at least did a good job. I mean, I think Mailata is expected back about 3-4 weeks from now, so they're going to have to make do without him. But with this easy schedule, maybe you can get by. And the offensive line has played really, really well, and that's been an encouraging sign considering that was a question mark heading into the season without Kelce being there.
Do you guys in Philly anticipate winning the division at this point, overtaking Washington, or are there plenty of folks that think the Commanders will win the East?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if I'm betting my money, I'd still bet on Washington. Like, I still think they've been the most complete team over 6 weeks. And, you know, Jalen Hurts needs to play better, bottom line. I mean, he's been okay. He's cleaned up the turnovers the last couple weeks. But right now, I mean, you guys know, the quarterbacks usually make a big difference. And right now, Jaden Daniels has been the best quarterback in the division. If he's healthy, I still think Washington's got to be a favorite right now.
Tom, wherever the most, like, I don't know how to describe this right there, but you'll know what I'm getting at here. Wherever the most, like, hardcore Philadelphia fan hub is, right? Imagine that local sports bar. Nick Sirianni walks into that sports bar. What's the reaction?
It's interesting. I mean, I think it's mixed. With Nick, it's really week to week. I mean, after the Browns game, it's a bad win. All the nonsense at the press conference. People wanted him fired last week. I mean, probably a bit of an overreaction. This week, though, I mean, they played well. They seemed to respond. It's settled down a little bit. And that's the thing. With the Eagles, when Nick's at the top of the storylines, that's not a good thing. If he's in the background, that's much better for them. So I think things have calmed down. I think people are okay with Nick generally, but it really changes week to week. He's a really weird guy to evaluate.
Tom, thank you, buddy. Great info as always.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
Thanks, pal.
It.
Let's keep the Blitz of the Division going. And our friends in New York are picking up the pieces after another blowout loss. Patricia Train is with us to break it down. Covers the Giants for SI. Patricia, we have been waiting to chat with you. We love having you on. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Well, you're well.
Better than the Giants this weekend. That was pretty ugly.
Yeah, it was.
Offensively, is it, like, do you think they'll score 10 points again in the game?
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's funny. This team has been like a Jekyll and Hyde this season. They do well on the road where they're averaging, you know, somewhere around, I think, over close to 20 points per game. And then at home, if you look at it, they're 0-4. They barely got to double-digit points. They're averaging something like 7.7 points at home. So they've been a Jekyll and Hyde offense.
How has Daniel Jones played overall?
You know, it's been a weird season for him. He's looked good between, you know, weeks two and through five, you know, the Seattle game. And you started to think, okay, maybe now he's settled down. But then the last 2 weeks, he just has gone back to you know, caving under pressure, to making bad decisions, to overthrowing receivers. So it's the lack of consistency in his game that I think drives people, you know, battiest.
But this defense is really good, even though the offense is doing it no favors at this point. The D is playing very well. Who's playing the best, and why are they so effective?
Oh, it's got to be Dexter Lawrence, hands down. I mean, without question, Dexter Lawrence leads the league in sacks with 9. And the great thing about that is he's been facing double teams on virtually every pass rush snap that he has played. And he has still found a way to accept the challenge and overcome it. And, you know, I think that's just a question, you know, that you can attribute that to the fact that the man has sheer will. You know, I've asked him about that. I said, why is it that you're able to overcome these double teams? He says, because I want it. You know, he just got very stern and said, I want it. And so you believe it. You believe it. You see it out there on the field that he is not going to be stopped. And he could care less if you put a bus in front of him. He's going to find a way into that backfield.
Grant and Danny blitzing the East. Patricia Traina is with us. I did not realize he had 9 sacks, by the way.
He's unbelievable.
He's
unbelievable.
Ridiculous. On a bat, like, they're not even leading and heat-seeking missiles at the end of games either. That's a big deal. So where do we go from here with the Giants? Like, Dable's safe, I would imagine, but what about Shane? What's the deal there?
Well, I think if I had to take a guess, I would say they're both probably safe now. Are they on solid ground? No. I think the biggest problem with Joe Shane has been his draft classes. They have not come up with home runs in those draft classes. Now, this year's class looks pretty good, but, you know, we were saying the same thing about his 2022 class and his 2023 class. And now, you know, having had a few years to look at them, it's like, okay, who amongst them is really, you know, a solid stud that you can build around? I do think that, you know, ownership realizes that you can't change the GM and the head coach every 2 or 3 years. That's just not going to help anything. But, you know, look, give them an opportunity to draft a new quarterback, to develop a quarterback. At this point, as much as I hate to say it, Daniel Jones is washed. I think he needs a fresh start elsewhere. I think the Giants need a fresh start. And I do think that that's going to be the big storyline coming up in the offseason.
Where are the big plays going to come from on this offense? Like, is it even possible? You look at some of the receiving longs for the year. It's a lot of teens. You know, there's like a long of 14, a long of 19 for some of their better receiving options. Is there a way for them to generate some big plays, trick plays, just something to get the ball, you know, out of their own end zone, basically?
Yeah, I mean, maybe switch the quarterback. I mean, maybe go with Tommy DeVito. I mean, look, Daniel Jones, for whatever the reason, you watch his game and you get the impression that he doesn't trust what he's seeing. You see him double pump, and then you see him hold on to the ball too late. And when was the last time you saw him hit a receiver in stride and consistently? You just don't see that. And that's what a good quarterback needs to do. That's how you get those explosive plays. When you have your receiver have to stop to catch the ball, that allows the defender to catch up with him, and that limits the yards after the catch.
So you're talking about going to Tommy DeVito, possibly. You might do that if you were coaching.
What's that?
You would do that if you were coaching. That just, to me, Patricia, seems, I don't know. I mean, I think that guy stinks, but I guess it doesn't matter because Jones isn't doing anything either.
Well, I mean, look, last year, look, would that be my first option? Probably not, but I don't think Drew Locke is the answer. With all due respect to Drew Locke, he's a great guy. I'm not sure he's the answer. And we did see Tommy DeVito last year make a few plays and win some games. So, you know, look, if you're looking to win some games and maybe, you know, shake things up, who knows? Maybe he's the option. I'm not saying he's the best option. I'm not saying he's the long-term option. But, you know, unless Daniel Jones has an epiphany, I don't know what other direction they can go in. It's not like, you know, they're going to get their franchise quarterback in here off the streets tomorrow. That's not going to happen. So, you know, if they want to win games, they're going to have to seriously think about, you know, what they're going to do. And don't forget that injury guarantee in Daniel Jones's contract, too, is looming as well.
Patricia, thank you as always. Have a great week.
You too.
Good info. Thanks, Patricia. And there you go, our blitz of the division on Grant and Danny. I do want to talk Cooper Kupp and whether or not he'd be a fit here. Also, we'll get back into the Bears game. How could Washington find a way to win without Jaden Daniels against Chicago? This is The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Pretty big trade in the NFL today. DeAndre Hopkins from the Titans to the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs are undefeated. They are looking to three-peat. No team's ever been able to do that. They are short on weaponry for Patrick Mahomes. They are paper thin at wide receiver with injuries. And so they go get DeAndre Hopkins. And it didn't cost them a whole lot. Fifth round pick that could become a fourth supplementally if Kansas City gets to the Super Bowl and Hopkins plays 60% of snaps the rest of the way. I bring this up, Danny, because Cooper Kupp is a name that keeps coming up in trade rumors. The Rams are looking to move on from him. And you and I disagree a little bit, just in passing from the couple conversations we've had off air. We haven't talked about this on air, about how interested Washington should be. Kupp is oft injured at this point. He is a veteran. He's very, very talented. But not a guy that I would be looking to bring in for a mid-round pick. I know you feel differently.
Yeah, that's exactly what it should cost. Like, I want that Hopkins deal. Like, I'll take on some of the salary because the assets that Washington has, allotment of draft picks, which to me are not something they should be throwing away willy-nilly, and salary cap space. So I'll take on the contract for a guy that can absolutely help them. As long as it doesn't cost, like, the report that I saw was they want a second. I'm not doing that. Sight unseen, period, full stop, end the conversation. I'm not there. A fourth rounder? Or fifth rounder for Cooper Kupp, and I'll take back some salary. I definitely think that's something I should be interested in.
So I don't think they have a big enough need right now at wide receiver for me to be wasting a whole lot of time, resource, energy, effort, picks, assets on the position. I know that coming in, the thought was they weren't good enough there, and then on paper they'd look a lot better with Cooper Kupp there. I don't think they're wanting for anything at wide receiver. How often have we come out of a game where you go, you know, if they just had a little bit more at wide receiver? I don't think that's happened at all. Drops have been few and far between. In fact, the worst, like, wide receiver impact performance was in a win. I think it was a win a couple of weeks ago. It might have been the Browns game, actually, when they blew Cleveland out and McLaurin fumbled and dropped a touchdown. We're talking about two super negative
plays. Yeah, like Zacchaeus had a second half drop this week. That's the list.
Yeah,
you know, like, that's it.
He had one drop, I think, against the Ravens. But mm-hmm. Top of my head, I could count how many drops they've had as a group on one hand. Noah Brown's been really good. Luke McCaffrey and his role is executed perfectly. Dyami Brown, when called upon, it's not a lot. There's not a lot of volume there, and you can say that about everybody. McCaffrey's not getting many ops. Zacchaeus isn't getting a whole lot of chances. Noah Brown's only getting a few passes. Dyami Brown, same thing. But when they throw one of those tunnel screens to Dyami Brown, he gets up the field, and on the Bengals' game-winning drive, he was huge. You know, had the 40-yard touchdown against Cleveland. Had a 23-yard catch on the move before halftime for Marcus Mariota to go get points before a touchdown this week. I think they've done a nice job at wide receiver. I also look at this offense, Danny, as one where I don't think you need a bunch of extra talent at receiver. McLaurin's the bell cow, 6 for 98. He's going to get more targets, more catches than everybody else. But they're going to throw to the tight ends. They're going to throw to the running backs. They're going to spread the ball around the receiver room otherwise. They're a run-first team and a run-second team and then a quarterback-run team, essentially, as much as they are a pass team. So a third-round pick's juicy. I would not give that up for Cooper Kupp at this point. I wouldn't be interested. Now, if you want to know where I would give up a third-round pick, let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Can I get a pass rusher who's going to be around here for a couple of years and take on a contract? Can I get a cornerback who could move Benjamin St. Juice to a more traditional corner two spot, who could move then Noah Igbinoghene back down the depth chart that would allow Mikey Sanders still to go back to nickel so I could develop him in his long-term spot there, who's played very, very well the last couple of weeks, I think, by the way, and just slot everybody down? That's where I would be willing to trade a pick for controllable, good, starting caliber talent at my biggest positions of need. I just don't view receiver as one right now.
So to me, this is down in, down out, game in, game out. We've got a pretty good sample of them whooping bad teams' butts. To their credit, I'm not taking anything away. People have mistaken that, us saying, hey, they beat up on bad teams, as knocking them. That's not a knock. It's a mark of a really good team to be able to do that. To me, I need him in the Ravens game. I need him when they're playing Philadelphia. I need him when they're playing, I'm not willing to give up a ton, so how bad do I need him? But that's when I would say, hey, this is when it's really important to have a good second option, not just a, isn't it neat that we can get Dyami Brown a catch every 2 weeks? Like, I would like a bona fide second option to take pressure off everybody else.
You thought they were missing that in the Ravens game.
Yeah.
Brown had 4 for 58 and had like a 30-yard PI.
Yeah, an ingredient of a dude that is uncoverable, that's always open, that is precise and catches 100, basically is on pace for 150 catches every time he's healthy. Now, the healthy part is hard.
Obviously, bringing in a really good player helps all 32 teams. There's a little bit of a trump card, you know, like a straw man argument, not that you're making it there. Yeah, of course, they'd be better with Cooper Kupp. But I guess to clarify, what I'm saying is you felt like watching that Ravens game, had they been more talented at wide receiver, maybe the result was different? Because they ended up moving the football pretty much all day long through the air from the pocket.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say specifics of they win that game if they have Cooper Kupp. I'm not saying that. I'm saying against the good teams, against good defenses.
Like this, have more talent.
Yeah, this weekend against Chicago, like if I'm a Chicago booster or fan, I'm going, we're not going to have any problem covering everybody else. We focus on McLaurin. I want them to say, we have to make a choice. We have to cover both. And if you can add talent the way that Kansas City is the defending Super Bowl champ a couple times over. They're 6-0. They're going back to the AFC title game again because they got Mahomes and Reed. If they can get somebody that's good for a glorified fourth rounder, I want that same treatment. That's my point.
What do you mean glorified fourth rounder?
It's a fifth, and then once he plays a bunch and they go to the Super Bowl again, then they get a fourth round.
So you're saying of course, I would also do that deal. We're talking about a third for Cooper Kupp, which is the trade rumor. That's what the Rams are asking.
Yeah, I've seen they want a second. Maybe they'll settle. I don't know. I want that. Hey, we'll pay the whole salary boat, and maybe it's a worse pick. But who knows? Who knows what's available? I'm not giving up a ton, so I guess I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. I'm going. It's not necessarily a priority where I'm going. I will damn the torpedoes, sacrifice future draft capital at a high level to go get this player. That's a little bit more of a luxury. I'm thinking about having a Cooper Kupp opposite Terry McLaurin in the big games. Right, that's a little bit less Carolina, a little bit more, Philadelphia in December kind of environment.
You'd
know?
Definitely be better off, and this gets us to a conversation that we've scratched the surface on. I think you and I, but we'll be talking more about closer to the deadline next week, which is should they be pushing more chips in to try to actually make a meaningful run this year? Because a Cooper Kupp opposite McLaurin at that point, Noah Brown, you move to the slot. And you slot everybody else down, that means less McCaffrey and Diami and those other guys, which I'm sure they'd be fine with, but at what cost, right? I mean, you're now saying we're trying to make a playoff run. And if you're doing that, then you should probably make some other aggressive moves. I don't view wide receiver, though, the way they're operating their offense as important enough to me to upgrade to give up a good draft pick. I would, above that threshold, corner, edge rusher. I think their O-line has been really good, but I wouldn't even mind bringing in a good offensive lineman who can play multiple positions as important depth in case somebody goes down. That's probably it. And again, it's not that I don't think they can get better. It's the assets that they'll have going into the offseason are so valuable that they're going to be able to do whatever they want. They're going to have the second most money to spend. They're going to have a ton of draft picks. They're going to be able to set themselves up to wheel and deal this offseason, and they'll know exactly where they are with more intel over the rest of the season. It's the same reason, and it's a completely different situation. Like last year, my point was get as many picks as you can, save all the money you can, because that's how you're going to hire the best GM. That's how you're going to lure Adam Peters to this job. That's how you're going to get the coach that you want to take this job. And I kind of feel that way now, except it's just going to be the recruiting of players. Hey, man, look what we're going to be able to do with all these picks and all that money. And Cooper Kupp also takes up a ton
of
cash.
It's a big salary. It's a big cap.
It takes away a lot of the salary money that you have to play with for a guy that is longer into his career who gets hurt a lot. So Shark Tank style for that reason.
For those reasons.
I am out. Let's go to Disco and Laurel and Grant and Danny. What's up, Disco?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
I'm with you. You know, look, I think we're number one in the league or top number one in the league in points, and we have a top ride out the season with receiver. And it's not just Terry McLaurin that's catching balls. I mean, you've got downtown Noah Brown. You've got Zacchaeus. You've got, the ball's being spread around. And I don't even think we've tapped into the potential of Luke McCaffrey and even Ben Sennett. So I think we have pass catchers to be able to make a run. My thing is this, and I don't think anybody's talking about this. I'm with you. I would go, if I'm going to go in, I'm going in on an elite pass rusher. And I'm going to tell you why. We're not talking about how initially I didn't want to trade any draft capital because I wasn't sure if we had our left tackle. But we got to remember, this regime seemingly got it right. They got their franchise quarterback and their franchise left tackle in the same draft. So that gives me a little bit of say, okay, let's be a little aggressive because we seemingly have those two positions on lock. What do you think?
And I think you're totally right.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you would need to draft early to get your quarterback or your tackle. And if you think Coleman's that guy, and I think they do and they should, then
yeah, easy to feel good so
far.
You
can find a corner in the second round, the third round, the fourth. You know what I mean? You can find those guys down the first round. To his point, though, on playing point guard and spreading the ball, the best passing game in the pocket for Daniels, I think, was the Ravens game. And in that game, Ertz had four catches, Brown had four catches, McLaurin had six, Eckler had four, Zaccheaus had four, and then Brown and McCaffrey both caught balls. That's what it looks like when it's humming and going well, I think, for them. Whereas you bring in Cooper Kupp, you got your Cooper rules. Let's make sure we get him the football. It changes, I think, the flow of how they're doing things. When you had a really good player, Cliff Kingsbury spending time all week figuring out how to get him the ball. Now you've also got to keep Terry McLaurin happy, and he's become the number two, and all he's done is everything you've asked him to do. Now all of a sudden you got a young quarterback who's worried about feeding Cooper Kupp but keeping Terry happy. I just wouldn't mess with a pretty good situation that they've got right now.
That's a good argument, is that things are going well. I mean, to me, I maybe it's because I'm a slave to convention. I go, you combine the totals of every non-Terry McLaurin player, you have a number two receiver. I think it's just easier to have a number two receiver that can't be covered instead of having to get in a lab and scheme up a crazy look that gets Noah Brown 7 yards,
which
I think can be eventually figured out.
They're never going to be a heavy wide receiver production offense. I shouldn't say never because we're in our infancy of figuring out what they want to be.
Yeah.
But this iteration so far through 7 games that we've seen with Kingsbury and Daniels, Daniels scrambles more than anybody else on passing plays. So that's passing plays that don't go to wide receivers. Then you've got your running back usage, which is high, your tight end usage, which is middling, but still, like, it's a lot of McLaurin. I just don't think there's going to be a lot of footballs to go around at wide receiver. I wouldn't spend the kind of money that I might at that position if I was Kyle Shanahan or Kevin O'Connell or someone who it's drop back and sling the football time when we do it. 800-636-1067, you want to hop in. Level of interest in, say, Cooper Kupp. He is one of the big wide receivers available. The market is hopping. DeAndre Hopkins got traded today. We'll also get into the Commanders and the Bears. And remember, Thomas Dimitroff, former GM, on the show in about 20 minutes to take a look at the Commanders' options at the trade deadline with us on The Fan. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Cooper Kupp is available. It's being rumored on the trade block to be headed in different directions. I'm not interested in Washington calling the Rams about Cooper Kupp or bringing him in. I don't know that he is a fit from the standpoint that they don't really need more wide receiver production. It would be then a priority to get him the ball. It would change some of the flow of the offense that's already pretty elite. I'm looking at upgrading the defense. But Danny, you like the idea of another weapon, and you would give a pickup to go get Cooper Kupp.
I would. I could maybe be talked into the second or the third round selections. It's not something I'd prioritize, but
second, that one blows me away, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean,
that you would do that.
To me, this is a rare chance where somebody that's really good comes free, and you can be the cool destination. You never are, and this could be a way that you now become unstoppable on offense. I think they can be slowed down by a good defense. I could be wrong. They may be unslowable. I've seen too much Kingsbury sample over the years where people kind of figure the scheme out a little bit. I want someone that's unschemable, and that's what Kupp is to a degree to me.
Let's go to Ray, who's in Baltimore, on Grant and Danny. What's up, Ray? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, buddy? I'll make it brief because I know you got to get to a lot of calls. But what I will say is, man, first off, pleasure talking to y'all again.
Thanks, bud.
What I will say is when it comes to Cooper Kupp, man, you have a rare opportunity to get a triple crown wide receiver, a weapon, a Super Bowl champion, somebody who seemed like a good guy in the locker room, and somebody who at this particular point may not mind mentoring younger players. I will end my call by saying this. One of the complaints that NBA veterans as well as NFL veterans have nowadays is how pro teams and both sides don't really value the presence of veterans. And by bringing in somebody like Cooper Kupp, you got to eliminate egos to the side. You're seeing what's happening up 295. So go for the gusto. The NFC East is for the taking. I will say, why not? Y'all fellas, take care.
Thanks.
Appreciate
I do
you
love the idea of the vet. and being in the room, but you got a consummate pro already helping out in Terry McLaurin.
Mm-hmm.
It's you got a well-traveled guy in Noah Brown.
Ertz is there too.
Absolutely.
Sure.
It's not like that's a necessity. There's an out of his contract. I don't know how this would be altered once he leaves organization, but it could become a 3-year $70 million deal that ends after this year with about 22.6 dead money. But if people are curious, his cap hit the next 2 years is 29.7 and 27 mil. So this would be the highest paid player on the team, and this would be a massive cap hit in addition to giving up a draft pick for a 31-year-old wide receiver who's had injury problems. I would just like to rather, if I'm going to spend that kind of money, go younger. Like, we were talking about Brandon Ayuk, and I know he just tore his ACL, but that's a younger guy who has more good football probably ahead of him, I would think, than, say, Kupp does. Let's go to Jesse in Bristow on G&D. How are you?
Not bad, fellas. Hey, real quick, you know, I'm not feeling Cooper Kupp as much as I kind of wish they'd have done something to get Hopkins, or even, you know, if Higgins, you know, comes free. I just think,
well, I wouldn't mind going after him this offseason, by the way. T. Higgins is going to be a free agent.
Yeah, but if Terry gets hurt, guys, there's, I mean, that whole defense gets sucked up and closer to the line. There's nothing to scare people. And, you know, it kind of just depends on how serious we are. Like, if we're going to make a real run, like you said, Grant, I mean, we need a cornerback.
Yeah,
you know,
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Good phone call. If you're pushing, though, the chips in to go get Cooper Kupp in case Terry goes down so that you can continue your role, then you should absolutely be trying to then upgrade corner and
then it's not about next year anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're not going to get Cooper Kupp because 2 years from now he's going to help Jaden Daniels be better in 2026. You're saying, we think we can win something impactful right now. So if you're doing that, then you darn sure better be looking at the corner market, and you sure as heck better be trying to go get me an edge to improve the pass rush. Chris in Hyattsville, what's good?
What's up, guys? Hey, you know, Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford are like Spice Dog and Q-Tip, or Kid and Play, or Salt and Pepper. When they're together, they make great music. But I'm not so sure about a solo career for Cooper Kupp. I feel like he's a product of being at the right place at the right time with the right quarterback and the right coach. I don't know if his skills are like Randy Moss, where you can just drop him on any team and he's going to be an all-pro. I mean, that's just my take on it.
That's not crazy.
I think he's a baller, but I his age and his injury history does worry me. Like, I don't think it's a situation like he's just some system guy. He also benefits from the volume of how often they throw him the ball.
Yeah, well,
by the way,
volume is certainly there. But I think, what was it? Now, this is years ago, but he had a 1,200-yard, 90-some catch season with Jared Goff. But again, that's a long time ago, just as a data point. But to me,
that was also McVay in L.A.
Yeah, but the argument against is injury track record, and the production is he's not the 145-catch, 2,000-yard receiver anymore.
He's a triple-crown wide receiver. That was 4 years ago that he did that. Hey, by the way, Chris, did you hear he caught some shrapnel yesterday?
Say what?
Yeah, you didn't hear that?
No.
Oh, right after your call, when you claimed that you were your favorite caller into the radio show?
You gave
show,
yourself the one seed, the Chris Hyattsville poll.
Some other caller called in and just went in on you.
Oh, I got to hit the podcast for that.
Yeah, you may not want to. There was blood. There will be blood.
Oh, I'm all for it. I'm ready to throw hands.
All right, go listen to it. He was not a Chris and Hyattsville
guy.
Thanks, Chris. Good as always. I appreciate you. I mean, you know he's in. He dressed up as Hulk Hogan at the Grant and Danny Fantasy Football listener draft.
Exactly.
For no reason.
No reason.
That's how we do it on G&D. He was at our listener draft, and he showed up for no reason wearing a Hulk Hogan outfit. And he just sat there drafting a team, and every time we looked at him, we had to look at him as Hulk Hogan.
That's the Hulkster. Just the third man.
So funny.
Just NWOing it.
Next on Grant and Danny, Thomas Dimitroff, who is the former GM of the Falcons, hired Dan Quinn, worked with him in Atlanta, also worked with Adam Peters in New England in the scouting department. We'll talk trade deadline with him, Jaden Daniels, whether or not he thinks he'll play this weekend. Coming up next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.